Although the Lord is the shelter of everything, and although all the universe is resting Him, He as the supreme or the super soul is also the support of everything. Although He is thus connected with the material energy in two ways, He does not have the slightest contact with it. So we'll read that together. Although the Lord is the shelter of everything, and although all the universe is resting Him, He as the super soul is also the support of everything. Although He is thus connected with the material energy in two ways, He does not have the slightest contact with it. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. In the Laghu Bhagavatamrita, Srila Rupa Goswami, commenting upon the Lord's transcendental position beyond the material qualities, says that Vishnu, as the controller and superintendent of material nature, has a connection with material qualities. That connection is called yoga. However, the person who directs a prison is not also a prisoner. Similarly, although the Supreme Personality of Godhead Vishnu directs all or supervises the qualitative nature, He has no connection with the material modes of nature. The expansions of Lord Vishnu always retain their supremacy. They are never connected with the material qualities. One may argue that Mahavishnu cannot have any connection with the material qualities, because if He were so connected, Srimad Bhagavatam would not state that material nature, ashamed of her thankless task of acting to induce the living entities to become averse to the Supreme Lord, remains behind the Lord in shyness. In answer to this argument, it may be said that the word guna means regulation. Lord Vishnu, Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva are situated in this universe as the directors of the three modes, and their connections with the modes is known as yoga. This does not indicate, however, that these personalities are bound by the qualities of nature. Lord Vishnu specifically is always the controller of the three qualities. There is no question of His coming under their control. Although the causal and elemental element supplying features exist in material nature by dint of the glance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Lord is never affected by glancing over the material qualities. By the will of the Supreme Lord, the different qualitative changes in the material world take place, but there is no possibility of material affection, change or contamination for Lord Vishnu. Om Gyananti Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Guru Venamaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Shri Mati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pastatya Dishitarine So this is a very philosophical part of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and it's talking about the Lord's connection with this material world. It's talking, the chapter of the title is Nityananda, about Nityananda. But Nityananda is none other than Balaram, Baladev, and it is the first expansion of Krishna. Krishna is completely independent, Swarat. Everything is expanded from. All the activities are done by Krishna's energies. What's that verse? Natashikaram charanam cha vidyate. Natatsamas chab jarikas cha drishyate. Prashya shakter vividaiva surate. Svabhiki jnana bala kriyacha. All Krishna's energies are automatically working. Krishna is above everything. There's nobody superior to Krishna. Nobody's equal to Krishna. And all his energies, they're multifarious, unlimited energies, and they're working by their own power. How is that possible? So this is the position. So it's talking about Lord Nityananda, that Lord Nityananda is the one who's organizing everything for Krishna. And so these are expansions of Lord Nityananda, Maha Vishnu, which it's speaking about now. So we can speak about this particular part of this verse in a while, but it says that both the Lord and the living entity have no... It's not just the Lord, but the living entity also has no connection with the material world. But out of illusion, we're completely convinced we're part of this material world. This is the whole purpose of Krishna consciousness, is to bring us to that point where we're in a different mindset. We're not in a mindset of seeing externally, but we're seeing internally. We're seeing the soul. And it's only on that platform of seeing the soul that we can actually start to practice Krishna consciousness. While ever we're caught up in externals, it's impossible to practice Krishna consciousness. We can do it in a mechanical way, but we can't do it in a real way. That's why Prabhupada says there's different grades of devotees, and they all may be pure devotees. One may be a ripe mango, one may be an unripe mango. The desire and the heart is in the right place with the neophyte devotee if he's wanting to follow the spiritual master's instructions. And therefore, Prabhupada said, we can all be considered to be pure in that respect. But without knowledge, what is knowledge? Is it just reading books? Without realization, it's not possible to advance in Krishna consciousness. When we get realization, then we can start to change this consciousness from external to internal. And when we see everything on the internal platform, although externally we're performing the same activities, there's no difference. And to any common man, he'll think, they're driving cars, these Hare Krishnas. They're doing so many things. They're just materialists. But internally, they're doing completely the opposite. They're doing it all for the pleasure of Krishna. So this is proper understanding of Krishna consciousness. That we're not connected with this material world. We're completely different from it. And due to illusion, we're thinking that we're part of the material world. There's one verse in the Bhagavatam. Yayo samhoito jiva atmanam trigunatmakam paropi manyate tarnathav tatkripam chabipadyate. He says the living entity thinks himself a material product, and due to this association with the three modes of material nature, he undergoes suffering of the three modes of material nature. Just because we think we're the material product, we suffer. When we're on the spiritual, when we're seeing the activities of Krishna consciousness, we're seeing on the platform of the soul, then we don't suffer. But Krishna is different. What's this? Anu. We're very small. And therefore the material energy, what's that verse? Mayatatamidam sarvam jagata vyaktimotina matstani sarvabhutani nacham teshviva vastita. No, that's the wrong one. No, it's the one, 7:13. Tribir guna maya bhaver ebe sarvam idam jagat mohitam nabhijanati mamebhya param avyayam. The whole world's bewildered by these three modes, and they can't see Krishna who's above the modes, who's inconceivable. And so Krishna's position is different. It's described mayata tamidam sarvam jagata vyakta murtina matstani sarvabhutane nacha hamtashu avastita. By me, in my unmanifested form, all these universes are pervaded. unmanifest. It means his energies. His like we say, Natasha Karam, Parashya Shakti Vividaya Visurite. This universe is all, there's nothing but Krishna actually. Who thinks there's anything separate from Krishna? Who believes there's anything separate from Krishna? That's the truth, yeah. That we understand theoretically when we're reminded, even we have to be reminded, oh yeah, there's nothing separate from Krishna. But actually we're completely seeing that Krishna's a person, he's somewhere up there in the spiritual world. And we've got to get back there somehow. No, this is all Krishna. We're all Krishna. There's nothing separate from Krishna. But the material energy, this illusion, is making us think we're separate. But Krishna's saying, this is the material world, it's not me, but it is me. How is this? He says, separated energy. Krishna's separated energy is in two parts. That's one is what? Bhumir apanado vayu kamir maniaburi evacha. Ahankara itimam me bina prakritis hastada. These eight energies are the inert energy of the Lord. It's actually inferior to the living entity. We're superior to this material. And how are we being so much troubled by it? Shri Radha Gokulananda ki jai. So if this material energy is inferior to us, why is it giving us so much trouble? It seems to dominate us. We're trying to dominate it. Why is it giving us so much trouble? Adi Atmika, Adi Bhautika, Adi Devika, anymore? Eh? We allow it. We've got no option. It's divine. This is the point we're making, is that there's nothing separate from Krishna. So we're thinking that we're superior to this material energy. Why? Because we've forgotten Krishna. If we think that, actually, this is Krishna's divine energy, and if I try to enjoy Krishna's divine energy, it'll take me to the cleaners. And that's what's happening. We're trying to enjoy Krishna's divine energy. And because it's empowered by Krishna, when we try to enjoy it, it's designed in such a way that it completely overpowers us. So, daiva hi ashagunami, mama maya drachaya, mame viya prabhadyanti, mayamitam tarantite. Therefore, we have to surrender to the process, to devotional service to Krishna. But we have to understand Krishna. We have to, first of all, come to the first stage in devotional service, really, is what? To understand we're not the body. So Queen Kunti prays, Anta Atma Rupa, in the form of the Super Soul, Jagat Adara, the support of the whole creation. This is these two things that this verse is mentioning. That Krishna is the form of the Super Soul. What's that? That's within everything. And externally is the what? Is the energy of the Lord, the Brahman effulgence, which is working everything. Jagad Andar. Kunti prays. Kunti Uvacha. Namashe Purusham Twadyam Ishvaram Prakrite Param. Alakshinam Sarvabhutanam Antabahir Avastitam. Srimati Kunti Devi said, O Krishna, I offer my obeisance unto you, because you are the original personality and are unaffected by the qualities of the material world. You are existing both within and without everything, yet you are invisible to all. So this is the effect of Maya. We're invisible due to Maya. So what the goal of Krishna consciousness is, what? Anybody think in a verse? We're about seeing Krishna. Seeing Krishna. Eh? No, in the Bhagavad Gita. Prabhupada says, if we learn Bhagavad Gita, we can achieve perfection. We don't even have to get onto Bhagavatam. And now we're on the Chaitanya Chaitamrita. Anyway, so, Yo Mam Pashyati Sarvatra Sarvacham Mai Pashyati Tashaham Na Pranashyati Tushaham Na Pranashami. This means that for one who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me, I am never lost, nor is he ever lost to me. And then what? Janma karma cha me divyam. Evam yo viti tatvata. Chakva deham punarjanma naiti mameti sa Arjuna. Janma karma cha me divyam. We see Krishna's real position. One who knows Krishna's position in this world, that he's not material, then we can obtain we don't have to take birth again in this material world. Anyway, that's enough for philosophy for the time being. I can see our eyes are getting heavy. So, I'll try. That's quite good, actually. There's only one or two today. Devotional service is a practical way to see Krishna everywhere. Has anybody realized that? Does anybody gain some realization about that? It's by our service we practically see Krishna. This is what the value of service. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's a verse which says that we don't even have to take initiation. We just have to chant Hare Krishna. That's enough. But then it gives some, parameters. Usually, we have to take initiation. We're not strong enough to make the right decisions on our own. What was the other point I was making? What was it before that? See Krishna through the service, that's it. And so, also, as well as chanting the holy name, we have to perform service. Take shelter of a bona fide guru, perform service. Because through that service, then we practically realize Krishna by our absorption in that service. Otherwise, we just see so many obstacles. When we're practicing devotional service, if we become frustrated and we see the obstacle, it means that we're becoming influenced by the material energy. If we're seeing if we're seeing Krishna in that service, that means we're properly situated. Has anybody had that experience? We become frustrated. We start, one verse in the Bhagavatam says, when we get into that mentality, we're in the deepest of ignorance. We go into the deepest recesses of ignorance when we get into that mentality. And so we have to keep this mentality, everything as Krishna's arrangement. How do we put that into practical practice? There's one nice verse in the Bhagavad Gita. Everybody should learn this verse. For years and years and years, I never really read this verse. Then, just a couple of years ago, I started reading it. And it's the answer to practicing devotional service in the right consciousness. Do you want to hear it? It says, Chetasa sarva karmani mai sanyasya matpara buddhi yogam zapashricha. Anyway, it says that in all activities, just depend on me. That's a big relief, isn't it? In all activities, just depend on me and work always under my protection. In such devotional service, be fully conscious of me. If we're in that mentality, we'll never be in Maya. And then Prabhupada writes in the purport, why can't we get in that mentality? Because we're acting on the platform of dominators. We think we're the dominators. We're actually servitors. And because we're acting as controllers, we can't remember Krishna. And Prabhupada writes, one should not act as the master of this world. We're trying to act as masters of this world. One should understand that whatever one's doing is actually being arranged by Krishna, whatever service. And in that mentality, one should try to please Krishna with that service and think that the results of this service and the success of this service is completely dependent on Krishna. And when we're in that mentality, we can become Krishna conscious. It's a great relief, but it's a very difficult thing. It's a relief to think that Krishna's in charge of everything, but to maintain enthusiasm while we're doing it, that's the point. When somebody says, don't worry, I'll take care of that, we relax, don't we? But we have to also take the onus of getting the service done as well as remembering Krishna and knowing that he's the doer. This is the difficulty. It's like flip-flop from one thing to the other. Being too relaxed or being too passionate. And so Prabhupada even sometimes seemed to show this quality. He used to do something and he used to be asking his disciples, are we doing it the right way? What does Krishna want? It's a constant endeavor with the mind to focus the mind properly and not be too lazy or too passionate. So I was thinking that there's one section of the Srimad Bhagavatam which will help us to perform service in the right mentality. I think I mentioned it last time I was here about the Avadhut Brahman. Anybody remember? In the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam, there was Maharaj Yayati, I think it was. Yadu. Maharaj Yadu is going through his kingdom, and he noticed that there was one of his subjects, he was completely peaceful in all situations. And he had, at that time, people could tell by externals, by their physiognomy, what kind of advancement they were, by bodily recognition and by facial, by looking at somebody's face, by looking at their eyes, by looking at their bodily demeanour. They could see whether a person was advanced, and he could see this person very advanced in spiritual life. But he was confused because he thought, this person's not very learned. Have we got any very learned people in here today? Put your hands up. So we qualified. He wasn't very learned, and he wasn't known to be very strict at following religious principles. And so this is like the Kali Yuga, isn't it? Most people are like that. So this verse was made for this age. So how has he become so advanced? And because Maharaj Yayati asked him very nicely, he started to explain how he learns from all the different situations he's in. And this is what we're trying to do, isn't it? We're trying to see Krishna in every situation. And he wasn't engaged in so much association with others. He was an avaduta, he was on his own. But still, he was able to see from the elements, the material elements. He was even able to learn from one prostitute. How is that possible? Is it possible? Get some spiritual realization? This prostitute, they call her Pingala. And she was running short of money. And so she dressed herself up very nicely and stood at the door. It was evening time, it was becoming dark. Men were coming by and she was looking at each one and she was meditating. Maybe this one has some money. And she was doing all the caricatures and everything, walking out into the middle of the road, coming back. And time was going by, and all she was meditating on in a romantical way, thinking, you know, she will have a nice relationship with, this is an illusion of Maya. Any man who wants to prostitute, then he's very degraded. But anyway, the night wore on, and she became a little bit more anxious, and then it became midnight. And then what happened? What happens when we try for something very hard and we eventually realize that it's beyond our means, what happens to us? Two things can happen, actually. Hey? We give up. But what's the mentality when we give up? We can either say, hey? Wait a minute. One at a time. You ask for acceptance. That's if you're advanced. Yeah, we've got to be pretty advanced to do that. But what do we usually do before we do that? We may come to that. That might be the last thing we think about. When everything else has failed, then we take shelter of Krishna. Hey? Blame God. It's called sour grapes for us, isn't it? Ah, I didn't want it anyway. I won't bother. Nobody worth it anyway. That's one thing. But she, because she was pious, she'd been practicing piety in a past life, that she suddenly realized by Krishna's mercy that she'd got a great benediction. She became completely renounced. She thought, actually, she just saw everything for what it really was. That, you know, this is just a useless activity. These men are completely degraded. I don't have to do this. Krishna's frustrated me so much that now I'm not even bothered. And then she thought, then she remembered, actually, Krishna's a supplier of everything. So let me just depend on him. And then she took rest and had a peaceful night. And from then on, she started practicing devotional service. So, frustration is actually a great benediction in devotional service. Sooner or later, we have to come to terms and take shelter of Krishna. We realize that, you know, all this putting our minds through difficulty is getting us nowhere from seeing things in a material way. So remember any other stories of the Avadhuta Brahman? Let's have a think. Oh yeah, there's one about the pigeon. Did I tell you one about the pigeon? This is a good one. This pigeon. We can relate it to family life, actually. This pigeon, he had a nice wife, and they had, you know, they were, everybody in this material world, they're looking for a perfect match, aren't they? You know, looking for a perfect wife, a perfect situation, then it'll be a perfect family life, we'll have nice children, and then, you know, everything will go on so nice. This is the general mentality. And so this pigeon was also thinking like that, that I can't believe that I've got such a nice spouse. You know, I've been benedicted by the Supreme Authority. And, you know, they used to watch everyone, they used to be so attached to one another. They used to watch the other person's activities very closely. Have you ever seen that sometimes? When two people are in love, they don't take their eyes off one another. They're completely infatuated. And this pigeon was like that. And at one point, then they started to have, you know, children. And the children were just perfect. You know, the nice little chirps. Attracted the heart. They were thinking, oh, this is so nice a life. You know, this is melting my heart, all these nice. And they went out. One day they went out searching for some food for these. Anyways, this goes into detail about the psychology, how we become so attached to that situation. I can't remember all of it, but it's so much on the ball. And then he says, one day the male pigeon and the female pigeon, they went flying from the nest for some food, obviously. They have to collect food for the children. And they were all the time thinking about the children while they were away. We better not stay away too long, otherwise there may be problems. And so then after the time they came back, and then in the distance they saw the children playing on the ground, and guess what was wrapped around them? A hunter's net. Can you imagine? It means certain death for the children. This is material life, isn't it? We become so attached, and at any moment it can be taken away. We don't know when. And so what did the female bird do? Immediately, she lost all intelligence and started running towards it, shouting towards the children. The hunter was waiting behind the tree. As soon as it came, whoosh, another one gone. So now the male bird's left. Everything he's worked for all his life is now in the hunter's net. And he's lamenting, he's thinking, I wasn't even satisfied anyway. I was trying to be satisfied. Now everything is gone. I don't have anything to be satisfied about. My wife's dead, my children are dead, his arm might as well be dead. And then, you know, he was lamenting in this way, and he lost consciousness. And what did he do? He fell into the net. And that was the end of the story. This is material life, isn't it? It really shocked me when I read it, this particular. But if we could only understand this point, that the illusory energy is making us forget Krishna, and we're trying to make a permanent situation out of a temporary situation. At every moment, you know, the mind's flipping to that all the time. It's an effort to get it back to spiritual consciousness. It's flipping back to the temporary. And so this verse is saying that, you know, the Lord's connected with everything. We are not connected with this material world one iota, just like the air. He says, he gives another example. He says, when I look at the sky, what is the sky? It's ether. He says, I see clouds, I see luminaires, stars, planets. So many things are in the sky. But he says, they're not connected with the sky. He says, in the same way, I'm not connected with this body. The body is just a background for the super soul to reside in the individual soul. So when he sees the sky, he sees, I'm not connected with this world. Then he thinks about the air. What can we learn from the air? Everybody should know this one. Bhagavad Gita. Where does the air go? It's everywhere, isn't it? It's in the water. It's in the air. It's in air's everywhere. But is it connected with those things? Air travels when the wind's blowing. It passes over foul-smelling things, over sweet-smelling things. It's just carrying that aroma. So it says a living entity going through this world is not connected with anything in this material world. He may come in contact with certain things, wife, children, so many. But there's no real connection. And then after that particular lifetime, the air carries on, the person carries on and connects with something else. So we've no real, what seems to be tangible truth is actually just a temporary illusion. So seeing Krishna everywhere, just like the man who was on the roof. Did I tell you about the man on the roof? He was mending the roof, an atheist, and it started to rain. It was one of these apex roofs, you know what it's like when it starts to rain on one of those. And he lost his balance, and he started sliding down the roof. And he says there's no atheists in the trenches, isn't it? You've heard that saying. In other words, when death looks certain, we're not an atheist. And so he thought, I'm going over the edge of this roof in another couple of seconds. And it's about, you know, a 50-foot drop onto concrete. So then he started shouting, oh God, please help me. And he was just going over the edge and whoosh, he was hanging there like this. And his belt had caught on a nail on the edge of the roof. And guess what he said? Thank God I put that nail there. So that's material consciousness. Does anybody get that consciousness sometimes? We don't see Krishna in this situation. We want to see Krishna directly, don't we? Most people want to see Krishna directly. They can't understand seeing him through his energy. Even sometimes, it's another thing, as well as his energy, he mentions his energy in this one, two ways that Krishna's connected. What's the other one? Super soul, isn't it? And so this another person, you probably heard this one as well. He was on the, he was in Bengal, and the Ganges overflowed, and a pretty flat ground. And so all the family climbed onto the roofs, and they were all on the roof, and they were coming up. You know, Ganges is very dangerous waters. Very, a lot of whirlpools. Many people lose their life in the Ganges. They go for a swim, they've gone. Very difficult. And so this atheist was on his roof with his family, and his friend shouted across him, now's the time to pray. And he said, pray that God will come and help you. And so he started praying. Oh God, please come help me. My family all stranded on the roof. The Ganges is rising. We're all going to die. I want you personally to come and help me. And then after a while, this boatman came along from out of nowhere and came up to his house and said, hop on. He said, no, I'm waiting for God to come. So this is the situation. Okay. Here it is. The whole material creation is going on by his will. So, if everything's going on by Krishna's will, is anybody fearful about their maintenance in this world? Does anybody get a little bit whether we're going to be maintained? Yeah? This is also an illusion, isn't it? This is one of the biggest difficulties in why we can't preach. Do you know that? We are so attached to that we have to make a situation for ourselves in this world. And we have to maintain it. And we have to protect it. And we get into that mentality and we haven't time to do what's really needed. When Prabhupada, he said, everybody in this movement are actually, what are they? Sannyasis. Yeah, when in the early days, he sent his... After a while, there was Jayananda. He was supporting everybody in the temple in... Was it San Francisco? Eight Ashbury. You know, he was going out driving his car, coming back with a Lakshmi, putting it in the temple, being temple president, emptying the bins. He was doing everything. And then at some point, he started to... You know, things were becoming a little strained with the wages he were bringing in. So Prabhupada at that point said, now everybody has to help. So he sent the devotees out to work. And they were working, and they were sending all the Lakshmi to the temple. He says, this is sannyas. Jai Pataka Maharaj, he was working in the Kodak factory. Satsvarup Maharaj, he was working where? In the local authority. In the social worker, yeah. And many others. But then, so he was even saying that, you know, we have to be renounced even in family life. And then when he married his disciples, he took them, he expected them to, you know, live more or less very simply. He was once on a train in India, travelling on the train, and there was two Grihastha disciples travelling with him, and they thought, oh, we're so getting so much mercy here in Prabhupada's association, and they were relishing it. You know, they're getting Prabhupada's association, Prabhupada's preaching, they're seeing Prabhupada, they're getting Prabhupada's vapu. Very important to it. When we see a spiritual master, we see the Bhagavatam in action. And then they came to one station, and the person who got on, he was a businessman, and he was into Krishna consciousness. And he said, Swamiji, I want to start up a temple in this town. And what did Prabhupada do? Immediately, he pointed to his two disciples and told them to get off the train and start a temple. So what's the point I'm making? I'm not expecting everybody to do that, you know, just get on the railway and stop off somewhere and start a temple, but it's the whole mentality that Prabhupada expected anybody who took initiation, anybody who really surrendered, that, you know, let me depend on Krishna. They had to depend on Krishna. In the beginning, Prabhupada said to one of his disciples, I want you to start a printing press. And he said, I've never even seen a printing press, Prabhupada. He said, don't worry, Krishna will help you. And so he did. He tried, and he started a printing press. And so that pioneering spirit has been lost now for a homely spirit. You know, we get initiated, and we think it's all around the home life, and not around the mood of Prabhupada. The mood of Prabhupada was to spread Krishna consciousness. Is that right? And so it seems to be getting to a mood. We're consolidated. We're all consolidated. We're like rocks. Nobody's going to shift us. Anyway, you know, but now we have to be shifted a little bit out of that consolidation of creating a nice, safe situation for all the devotees who are devotees now. For 90% of them anyway. But now we have to start reaching out and making more devotees, isn't it? And so this marathon, this is what it's for. It's for us to think, you know, could I do a couple of, like Jayadvaita Maharaj was saying last time he came, he gave a really nice lecture. And yet there were still some arguments against what he was saying. Can anybody get 2 hours a week out of the time? Can anybody get 2 hours a week out of the time? Can anybody not get 2 hours a week out of the time? Who can give 2 hours a week out of the week? Who can spare 2 hours a week? Put your hands up. Who can't spare 2 hours a week? Who doesn't know? Everybody can spare 2 hours a week. So everybody could, you know, just go out with a devotee who's practiced in doing a little bit of preaching, whatever it is, and just watch him, and then just join in a little bit. And then just say, this is my austerity to Prabhupada. You know, there's two kinds of devotees, the Bhajananandi, who looks after himself, and there's the what, Ghostianandi, who looks after others, also tries to bring others. This is a Ghostianandi movement. There's one verse I was reading the other day. It says we're not actually real devotee means he cares about others. He cares about delivering others. What do you call it? Paradukha dukhi. If you look at all the histories of devotees in the past, they've all been trying to give Krishna consciousness to others. We get something valuable, let me give it to somebody else. And if we can just get that mood of just giving a little bit of Krishna consciousness to others, then it's intoxicating. It's like bittersweet, isn't it? It's very sweet, but it's bitter because it means we have to put some extra effort into it. And so this is the time of year. Look, this is the Chaitanya Charitamrita class. This is Lord Chaitanya's book. And Lord Chaitanya, what was Lord Chaitanya's mood? That we should spread Krishna consciousness. So we've got door to door Sankirtan going now. And street Sankirtan. And so for the next couple of weeks there's every day of the week there's facility for somebody to come to the temple and be taken out to do door to door Sankirtan. And learn how to reciprocate with the conditioned souls. Give them a book, give them some prasadam, or give them a nice feeling so that, you know, they're actually attracted to Krishna consciousness in some way, shape or form. And this is our service to Prabhupada. So anyway, we should seriously think about this. We're getting stuck in the mud, we're not moving. Things are consolidating, but they're not. From that now we have to start doing a little bit more preaching.